going to conduct another search when the water level drops significantly. So that may be a couple days, that may be a couple weeks.
A search for a local man is suspended, but will continue with volunteer help. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. A search on the Chilkat River for a missing Haines man is suspended until waters subside. Search and rescue efforts began late last week for 36-year-old Jason Allgood, a Customs and Border Protection officer at the United States Dalton Cache Station on the Haines Highway.
Well, he didn't show up for work on Friday the 18th.
Alaska State Trooper Josh Bentz.
He's supposed to be at work at 8 and didn't show up, and so we were trying to track him down. His supervisor was concerned because he never misses work. So we started putting the pieces together and realized that he most likely went fishing on Thursday the 17th.
Troopers took a closer look at well-known fishing holes on the river and located Officer Allgood's vehicle parked downstream from Wells Bridge.
And once we found the vehicle, we tracked a set of footprints to the location where he set his net and left his backpack. There's one set of footprints out to the gravel bar where the net was and nothing returning.
Since his belongings were nearby, troopers reasoned that he likely went into the river at that location. They immediately initiated an official search and rescue on Friday, involving riverboats, volunteer ground searchers, and helicopters. The SAR continued the next morning, covering area from 9 to 25 mile.
We got so much area to cover, and what we did on Saturday was we had four boats, and we had at least one or two probes, 25-foot probes in each boat, like a long pole, and we probed the shoreline. We centralized the search that day, thinking he may have been stuck relatively close to the net underwater. So we really probed that area extensively. We also had a grappling hook. We began there, and then we just expanded to downstream further, and we basically searched the entire river, at least from 25 miles down below Klukwan. But it's tough. We're trying to get up underneath the bank of the river, and we're just kind of inching along there, looking for any signs or anything. The only thing we did recover was this cooler that floated down past Klukwan.
The search picked back up on Sunday when two southbound motorists on the Haines Highway reported a possible sighting of a fishing wader near 7 Mile. But the attempt, covering ground from that point to 2 miles past Pyramid Island, was unsuccessful and led troopers to suspend the search.
It's still suspended. We're going to conduct another search when the water level drops significantly. So that may be a couple days, that may be a couple weeks. We're going to do another search after the water drops. It's really high right now. It came up a foot overnight.
A long list of local companies and volunteers stepped in to help troopers search for Officer Allgood through the weekend, including Chilkoot Indian Association, John Katsik, and U.S. Customs and Border Patrol.
River Adventures, 33 Mile, Roadhouse, Mountain Market, Haines Search and Rescue, Alaska State Parks, Temsco Helicopters, Coastal Helicopters, Ken C. Wright, Kenny Waldo, Alaska Mountain Flying Service, Alaska State Parks.
Troopers will issue a public announcement to recruit volunteers to help with the next phase of the search.
And people can just listen to the radio and the local news and hear about that search. We're just going to try to saturate the river with as many eyes and ears as we can.
Trooper Bent suggests wearing life jackets, bringing a partner on outings, and telling people about travel plans when recreating near the river.
It's a fast-moving river, and with all that silt, it's tough once you get in the water.
A Haines man died at his home early Tuesday after being released from a Juneau hospital that had treated him for symptoms consistent with paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP. It's the fifth reported case of PSP and second death in 2 weeks. One expert says unusual conditions this year could explain the number of cases. 57-year-old John Michael Saunders suffered symptoms of the shellfish-borne poisoning on Friday after reportedly eating the viscera of Dungeness crab caught in Haines. He was flown to the capital city's Bartlett Regional Hospital for treatment. He was released on Monday and found deceased at his Haines residence early Tuesday morning. Jim Strader is with the Bartlett Regional Hospital.
What you would have when a person is admitted to a hospital, they're treated for symptoms. when the symptoms have disappeared and they have seemed to recover and wish to be discharged, that's what you do. And his doctor discharged him based upon his desire to return back to Haines, believing, I'm sure, that the symptoms were not present at that time or they would not have discharged him.
This was the fifth reported case of PSP in Alaska in 2 weeks. Saunders' cause of death is not yet confirmed, but if it is PSP, it would be the second in 1 week. Strader called the rise in cases highly unusual, and Dr. Joe McLaughlin, state epidemiologist with the Department of Health and Social Services, says the state is concerned. One or two cases of PSP are usually reported in Alaska every several years, he says.
We're very concerned about it. And basically, there are a number of factors that determine how well the algae that produces this toxin does any given year. So it has to do with the temperature of the water, duration of sunlight, and other chemical factors in the water.
The University of Alaska Fairbanks has monitored PSP occurrence in Alaska at least since the early 90s. Ray Roland is a professor of fisheries with the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences. He specializes in aquaculture and marine toxins and says the poisons that cause PSP are 1,000 times more toxic than cyanide.
There's two disturbing incidences here. One of them is the five in 2 weeks, you know, but they're split between three different locations, Kodiak and Juneau and now Haines, and with different circumstances for each one. Which creates a real problem.
Roland suspects that it's a particular combination of seasonal and tidal schedules this year that could explain the spike in incidents.
If one looks at bivalve fishing, you know, clam digging, mussel harvest, or whatever, we could almost anticipate a late spring, early summer episode occurring. And it's not because of the toxins alone, but it generally is the first low tides of the year that attract people to go out and harvest shellfish. And so there's a much higher incidence of harvest and during a time of year where it could be dangerous to harvest. So you put the two together and you run the risk of having multiple episodes.
This is not the first time PSP has swept through Alaska. Peril Strait in Sitka, as well as nearby Poison Cove and Deadman's Reach, were named during a seal hunting expedition led by Alexander Baranoff in 1799. On that trip, 150 hunters died after eating poisonous shellfish, and a rash of related illnesses broke out in Kodiak in the 1990s. But there have been few reports of PSP in the state in the last decade, and before last week, no deaths associated with the poisoning since 1997.
Now all of a sudden it pops up its ugly head, and we've got multiple episodes, which is not unusual for a toxin issue to happen, because it is such a complicated process. That leads to the development of the toxin that ultimately makes people ill and can lead to fatalities.
Paralytic shellfish poisoning is caused by toxins concentrated in bivalve shellfish, like geoducks, oysters, snails, scallops, clams, and mussels. But it's more uncommon to experience PSP symptoms after eating parts of crab. Saunders was the only person among several others in Haines who ate crab together who reported symptoms. Robert Presley is the Department of Environmental Conservation's seafood program manager. He says recreationally harvested bivalves are not safe, nor is eating crab viscera. But commercial bivalves and crab are safe to eat.
Commercially processed crab that are viscerated are generally recognized as safe because the PSP toxin is found in the internal organs of the animal. The only way it's found in the meat is certain levels can migrate from the viscera into the meat post-mortem. And that's the reason we require commercially processed crab to be alive at the time of delivery.
Saunders' body will be transported from Haines to the medical examiner in Anchorage for autopsy. The state began testing bivalves and crab in areas where PSP symptoms have been reported. Paralytic shellfish poisoning can occur any time of year, and cooking meat does not denature toxins. Symptoms include dizziness, tingling, numbness, and shortness of breath. People experiencing symptoms are advised to seek medical attention immediately. shareholders have decided not to shrink Ingoon's Village Native Corporation's board of directors. Kutznuwu Incorporated's leaders proposed reducing the board from 7 to 5 members as a cost-saving measure. Ballots tallied at the June 19th annual meeting were short of the supermajority needed. Floyd Kukesh was elected as the corporation's new board chairman. He replaces his brother, Matthew Kukesh, who did not seek another term. Both are brothers to State Senator Albert Kukesh. General Manager Peter Nowrose says the corporation will work to lower Ingoon's power cost and boost the village's economy.
We'll continue with our priorities. Their lake hydro development being our number one priority. I haven't heard anything different from the new board members other than go for it, get it done.
Thayer Lake is an approximately $20 million hydropower project on Admiralty Island. It would replace expensive diesel-generated electricity for the village of about 450 residents. Kutznuwu is also looking at development opportunities for property it owns on southeast Prince of Wales Island. Nowrose says the land, which has been logged, is close to the Niblack and Boken Mountain mines.
So we're really near some very interesting mining opportunities in the near future, we think, and we have opportunities for deep ports and for some actual work on private lands with it, which is either grinding the minerals or storing them and shipping them.
Niblack is a copper, zinc, gold, and silver prospect that's under development. Boken Mountain is a former uranium mine that also has rare earth elements, which are used in high-tech equipment. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.